You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Rodgers going for it all, looking to bring it open. He's got it! Lazard! Gonna go! Touchdown!
Rodgers snaps it quick, scrambles to his right, pumps and runs, and Rodgers is inside the pylon!
Allen has time. Intercepted! Sauce Gardner's got it. Breaking away, Garrett Wilson. Wilson, a big play downfield. Allen tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning, 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And we're going to answer some of your mailbag questions with our friend who's the editor over at JetNation.com, Glenn Naughton. Glenn, what's up, brother?
Not a whole lot, man. Excited about the fact that we have some OTAs going on, even though it's only a few days. It's nice to see the guys out there starting to gel and get the offense down. And look, it's one step closer to the season. And we are about to hit that really dead part of the year where there's not much, so it's nice to take what little bit you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I am really looking forward to seeing some more action on the field, but in the meantime, there's been some really cool stuff going on in terms of Jets content, not just our podcast, Glenn, because we can pat ourselves on the back, Barry Horowitz style, obviously, but we've been watching Flight 23. The first two episodes have both been really, really good. And Seth Bradley, who is the director of the series, joined me to recap and take us behind the scenes of episode number one. He's going to do the same thing for episode number two. And, of course, he'll do it for episode three as well. So really looking forward to that. As we jump into answering your questions here on this Memorial Day weekend, first one comes in from Andy B. He asks, hi, Scott. If Zach Wilson somehow progresses while backing up Aaron Rodgers, do you think the Jets will use the template Green Bay used for Jordan Love in declining the fifth-year option and re-upping on a one-year prove-it deal with incentives? No, I don't, because it was a totally different situation with Jordan Love. The Packers, at the time that they had to make the decision, had already in their heads moved on from Aaron Rodgers, and they were going to go to Jordan Love this year. So there was no hesitation in picking up the fifth-year option. By next year at this time, when the Jets would have to make the decision for Zach Wilson, unless Aaron Rodgers is gone after 1 year, which everybody's hoping is not the case, there's no way the Jets would have seen enough from Zach Wilson to make any kind of deal with him yet. So what they would probably have to do is either try to get him signed to some cheap extension if they saw stuff they liked in practice, or ride it out with him for another year, see if he catches on the way that Packers think Jordan Love has in Green Bay, and then from there maybe attempt to work out some sort of deal when he's already a free agent. The timeline's not really favorable for the Zach Wilson is going to come back and be awesome for the Jets line of thinking here, but I don't think picking up the fifth-year option or any kind of equivalent deal at this time next year is going to be feasible. Just wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think unless Zach Wilson plays a chunk of time, which none of us want to see, I'm talking 5+ games and plays at a really high level, I can't see the Jets doing that. I think it gets interesting where if say Zach Wilson does play in a couple games, you know, or even gets significant time in mop-up duty in a few games and looks good enough that another team that maybe loved him pre-draft is willing to make a run at him, which means that the scenario you pitched, Scott, makes sense, right? Try to bring him back on the cheap. But if he plays well enough to generate interest elsewhere, do the Jets get into I don't mean bidding war in terms of paying $20 million a year, but whatever we would class as cheap, is there another suitor that drives up that price, and do the Jets get involved in that? I think it's a great question because I posted on our forums a couple weeks ago in Jet Nation sort of the reverse of it. I kind of said, what do the Jets do if Zach doesn't look better and they don't have a first rounder next year? That's another conundrum. But the flip side of it is, what if he does look good, but you know he's not going to start next year? How good does he have to look in order for them to pick up that option? So I think if he sees extended playing time, he's got a shot. But if things go as planned and he only sees a handful of snaps, I don't think there's any way they pick up that option.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from David Shopes. He asks, who is going to cover tight ends? Chuck Clark is a box safety, and the Jets could not cover tight ends last year. Actually, it's funny you bring up Chuck Clark because he's actually excellent covering tight ends. If you go ahead and take a look at his numbers in the slot covering tight ends one-on-one, he was really, really, really good. So I think they are going to use him in that regard. What Chuck Clark is not great at is being deep. That is a role that they're going to, I assume, keep him away from. But as far as covering tight ends, I think he will absolutely do it. He was really more of a hybrid safety / linebacker with the Ravens. And in fact, when Ken McCusick from Ravens Film Study came on the show right after the Jets got Chuck Clark, what he said was, if the Jets wanted to save some money by getting a two-down thumper at linebacker and then bring in Clark to play some linebacker on third downs, that would be a scenario that would be beneficial to the Jets. Part of that is because he is so effective covering tight ends one-on-one. So I think to answer your question, you are going to see a lot of Chuck Clark covering tight ends, and that'll be a good thing for the Jets.
I think you look at Clark, and I think they're going to use him in a way that they had hoped Hamza Nasruddin would develop. But that obviously never came to pass. I think he's a guy who we are unlikely to see on the roster beyond this season. So I think Clark is there. You know, I think we had a similar question a couple weeks ago. I like UDFA Marquise Waters, but obviously, you know, this is a guy, he's UDFA. He may not even make the roster. But Waters is another one of those guys in the box, plays linebacker, plays slot, who can cover a little bit. But, looking at the roster the way it is right now, Clark is the one guy you look at and think he might be able to do that a little bit. I'm sure you saw Javelin Guidry's back. I don't know if they envision him in that role, although he has played slot and outside, so maybe he gets a look there. But Clark would have to be at the top of the list right now.
Next question comes in from Bill Fond. He asks, if Aaron Rodgers stays 2 years and Zach Wilson shows progress in exhibition games, practice, etc., and Aaron Rodgers retires after 2024, Zach Wilson will be an unrestricted free agent. Do you see the Jets being able to sign him to a team-friendly deal, or do you just see another team overpaying him and Zach Wilson wanting to start new? It's hard for me at this point to think that some team would overpay Zach Wilson based on what we've seen. I guess teams get desperate when it comes to quarterbacks, and you could see a situation where if some of the stink from this past year and part of his rookie year are washed away over the next 2 years with Zach Wilson behind Aaron Rodgers, you could see teams talk themselves into Zach Wilson possibly being the guy that they could go to as their starting quarterback, but I don't see a scenario where he's going to get some sort of huge paycheck. This is interesting, though, because if Wilson does show a lot of progress and the coaching staff becomes high on him and they are convinced that he's going to be the guy after Aaron Rodgers, are they going to be able to convince him to stay when he may have other options? Maybe he'd want to play the field. That's if everything goes according to plan and Wilson ends up being the type of quarterback in practice and all of that, that Douglas, Salah, Nate Hackett, all of that believe in and think he's going to be somewhere close to what they envisioned when they drafted him at number 2 overall. I think that what is essentially going to have to happen here is the Jets are going to have to take their chances with Zach Wilson. If they see what they like, they'll have to try to sign him. Maybe they have some competition. I don't see some team going crazy with an offer. It's not the ideal scenario, however, if it gets to the point where the Jets are confident enough in Zach Wilson that they do want to bring him back to be the starter, that would be a good thing. It would mean that everybody involved did their jobs. And so from that perspective, you would think it's a net positive regardless.
Yeah, I think the best scenario for the Jets here is that Zach Wilson shows progress, like just enough to believe he's salvageable, but not so much that another team is gonna come in with a huge offer. And then obviously you're not gonna bench Aaron Rodgers if he's coming back for a second season, but you're also not gonna want to pay a huge amount of money to Zach Wilson if Aaron Rodgers is going to be the starter, even if it's for 1 year. So I think if, again, as I said, if he plays well, another team is bound to get involved, and teams may view this similarly, or they may look at the Geno Smith situation and say, well, you know, the Jets just break quarterback. I mean, could you imagine, Scott, if Sam Darnold has a big year this year with San Francisco, if he gets that starting job due to injury and plays well? I mean, that's just going to be another guy for teams to look at and go, some of these quarterbacks might not be bad. This just might be what the Jets do to guys. So if Wilson plays well enough, teams are quarterback hungry and someone will come knocking. But if he plays poorly, then I think that makes the decision easy for everyone involved and you let him move on.
Glenn, the thought of that Sam Darnold scenario, don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I'm telling you, it hit me the other day. I forget who I was talking to, and I thought to myself, you know, we just saw what happened with Geno. How about this? How about a Geno Smith, Sam Darnold NFC Championship game this year? How about that? San Francisco can bring the local kid, Mark Sanchez, on as an assistant coach.
Next question comes in from Captain Jet Sparrow. He asks, does Aaron Rodgers become the first Jets quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards in a season since Joe Namath in 1967? It's possible. He didn't do it last year, but you would think now being healthier and having better weapons around him, there's certainly that possibility. It doesn't take that much if you think about it from a statistical perspective, because now you've got 17 games, right? So if you have 17 games, whereas remember, Joe Namath had 14 games back when he did it. So that makes it even more impressive. With 17 games, if you have a player who throws for an average of 240 yards a game, you'd have 4,080 yards in the season. Certainly very doable for Aaron Rodgers. I know they're going to lean on the running game. I know that Rodgers last year completed 60% of his passes to running backs as opposed to going downfield to wide receivers as much as he had some years in the past. But if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, I see no reason why he can't do it. Doesn't mean he will, but obviously, looking at those numbers and just having to average 240 yards a game, very easy for him to achieve that if he's anything close to what he's always been.
Yeah, he's gone over 4,005 out of the last 7 years. The only way it doesn't happen this year is if there's an injury. He, again, you know, the last time he was in this offense, he threw for almost 4,300 yards. Of course, he had the, you know, the 48 TDs with Hackett before Hackett moved on to Denver. I'm trying to remember. Hackett may have been there in 2021, but he went over 4,100 that year too. So the last couple of years he's been with Hackett. I mean, really up to this year, he had a 4-year stretch of 4,000 yards. And we all know it's well documented that there was a slow start this year. They had a bunch of injured receivers. The guys were healthy, were new to Rodgers. They lost Devontae Adams, and he still only came up a few hundred yards short of 4,000. So yeah, barring injury, I locked that in as him throwing for 4,000 this year.
Next question comes in from Jets fan in CLT. He asks, the Tyreek Hill trade almost came out of nowhere last year. Is there another elite player in the league nobody's thinking of right now that Joe Douglas might be in talks with for a blockbuster trade before summer camp opens? Nobody I can think of that hasn't been talked about. The two obvious players that you would think of that could be available that maybe Joe Douglas could target are DeAndre Hopkins and Kevin Byard. Now, to be fair, there haven't been a lot of reports about the Jets calling Tennessee on Kevin Byard or the Jets calling the Cardinals on DeAndre Hopkins, so it would be a surprise from that aspect, but there has been a lot of talk about those two guys potentially getting traded, whereas I'd heard nothing about Tyreek Hill being available pretty much until the day that he wound up being traded to the Dolphins, and it was a back and forth between the Jets and the Dolphins. So there's no one I can think of off the top of my head that would fit that category, but obviously that's the whole point, right? That came out of nowhere. Somebody else could as well. If we're talking about guys where we haven't heard a lot of connections between the Jets and them as far as possible contact, Byard and Hopkins would be my answer, but if we're talking about somebody that could come out of nowhere, I have no idea.
Yeah, I actually had this thought the other day I was primarily thinking about the QB2 situation, right? Because I've sort of gone on at length about that and how I think they need to add a body because there just isn't a reliable guy if they need someone to come in a big spot and win a game for them. But the same really applies to receiver, and I wonder if we're going to see this team make a run at a guy sort of week three or four early in the year, see if some team with a couple of good veterans and very little cap space get off to a 1-3 start, you know, a 1-4 start, and kind of find themselves falling out of the playoff picture quickly. Like maybe Tampa Bay, maybe you call and say, hey, what do you want for Chris Godwin, right? You guys are 1-3, mm-hmm. The Bucs are in one of the worst salary cap situations in the league, and in that situation might look to unload some salary. You know, Mike Evans, you know, big name, big salary, but 29-year-old guy. So that's kind of where I would like. Those are the two names that come to mind to me because the Bucs cap situation is so bad. But my thought on the Jets adding players, because I really, and we've talked about this, Scott, they still have holes. Like, yes, this is the best team they've had in years, but if we want to talk about them as a Super Bowl contender, there's still some things you'd like to see them do. And maybe they wait till in season, and I know it's tough to integrate a guy, but it's not the worst thing in the world to bring in a vet receiver who, you know, in week four or five, and you've still got 10, 11 games left to work this guy in for what, you know, you're hoping primarily get the guy ready for a playoff run. And I think that's just me thinking out loud. Like I said the other day, I kind of was thinking about the QB2 thing and thought if they don't add someone before the season, maybe they grab someone week 2, 3, 4 for a team that's out of it. Same applies to receiver.
Glenn, I wanted to talk about this a little bit on the subject of DeAndre Hopkins, since we have gotten questions about this and there've been a lot of comments. We've heard all about that video where DeAndre Hopkins was asked about certain teams
and he
made facial expressions, and then he was on the I Am Athlete podcast and he talked about certain teams and certain quarterbacks. And what he said was that he wants to go to a team with a really good quarterback, a really good defense, and good infrastructure in terms of the front office and the coaching staff. You would think the Jets should fit all three of those, because with Aaron Rodgers here, have to figure the Jets will make the playoffs. And at that point, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh most likely get contract extensions. Plus, Aaron Rodgers, obviously one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and the Jets had statistically a top five defense last year. They're at worst somewhere in the 5-10 range, if anything. And so for the people that were harping on DeAndre Hopkins making that face when asked about the Jets, that wasn't some definitive declarative statement. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers wasn't even here yet. He also made that face about the Patriots when asked, and then during the interview on the I Am Athlete podcast said that the Patriots and Bills both intrigued him when he heard that they were both interested in possibly pursuing a trade. He didn't mention the Jets, but to be fair, and this is the point I made, the Jets haven't really been talked about as far as pursuing DeAndre Hopkins. You haven't heard much in the way of whispers. All you heard was Albert Breer during a Q&A say that he thought the Jets could pursue all avenues and mention DeAndre Hopkins as a possibility, but he didn't say anything about the Jets actively pursuing Hopkins. We haven't heard any of that. DeAndre Hopkins may actually get released. We've heard reports of that recently now, too. So if that happens, remember, the Bills have talked all about how they have no cap space. Brandon Bean joked, if you can find me a really good receiver that's willing to play for $2 million, give him my phone number. Now, that doesn't mean the Bills can't go out and find a way to clear up some space. Maybe they can. But we know the Jets can because we've talked about it. Ashton Davis, that's an easy $3 million. Denzel Mims, that's an easy $3 million. Corey Davis, that's an easy $10 million. You've also got Jordan Whitehead at $8 million. There's several other players that the Jets could release to clear up some cap space if they wanted to get DeAndre Hopkins. And my thought is if they went after Odell Beckham Jr., no reason not to pursue DeAndre Hopkins if he hits the open market. So the people that are going around acting like DeAndre Hopkins said steadfastly he does not want to play for the Jets, I have seen nothing of the sort. He hasn't specifically singled the Jets out the way that he did with the Bills and Josh Allen. He didn't put Aaron Rodgers in his top five quarterbacks that he want to play with, but the Jets do fit the criteria of the type of team he says he wants to play for. And if they were to come at him with a good amount of money to spend, say a one-year deal for a significant sum the way that the Ravens did with Odell Beckham Jr., I see no reason why he wouldn't consider coming to the Jets. As I said, I've seen absolutely no evidence that he would be dead set against playing for the Jets. Remember the facial expression that everybody is using as proof that he would never want to come to the Jets is the same facial expression he used when asked about the Patriots, a team that a couple of days ago he said on a podcast intrigued him when he heard that they were interested. So people reading way too much into this. I have no idea if the Jets are interested. I have no idea if they would pursue Hopkins if he becomes a free agent. I have no idea if they've called the Cardinals about a potential trade. But I will say, if the Jets are interested, I don't see any reason why it's out of the question they could go ahead and land Hopkins. And as I've made clear many times, I think that's something they should absolutely pursue because of what a player like that could do to take that offense from somewhere around the middle to right around top 10 and maybe a little bit better. A healthy DeAndre Hopkins, Garrett Wilson, and Alan Lazard is just about as good of a 1-2-3 punch as you're going to find in the league. There are a couple that you could quibble with and say are better, but the Jets would have probably a top 5 or 6 receiving core if they made a move like that.
Yeah, I think the facial expression he made in that interview you were talking about, I mean, to me that said, like, you know, maybe not his number one choice, a little bit hesitant. You know, it wasn't as if he kind of, there was no over the top. It wasn't this adamant response where he made it clear he would not consider the Jets. And as you said, you know, if I'm sure if he gets a phone call from Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh, who I think players love to play for, I don't think it would take a whole lot of convincing for them to say, look, you know, you're going to get your money, obviously. You're going to come to a bigger market. You're going to play with a quarterback who's going to consistently put the ball right on target, going to help your production. And I don't think it's that out of the question. I think what the question is are the Jets interested? You know, because it's not as if he hasn't been available for a while via trade. And the fact that, as you mentioned, and this is what, because I've had people say to me, the wide receiver room's fine. They don't need another receiver and this, that, and the other. It's like, but I say what you just said, Scott. I'm like, they made a run at Odell Beckham. Like, they clearly feel like they could use another guy. And if you made a run at Beckham, why not make a run at Hopkins? Or, you know, as we said, maybe trade for someone down the line. But I think Hopkins is should definitely be under consideration. And I think that people saying him kind of, you know, grimacing a little bit when they mention the Jets, I don't think that takes them out of the running.
Breaking news as we are recording this, the Cardinals have just released DeAndre Hopkins. So to add on to what we said before,
wow,
he's now out there on the market. Jets absolutely should make a concerted effort to go get him, because now they don't even 100%. Have to give up draft picks. There were people that were balking at the idea of giving up late round picks. Don't even have to do that now. As far as I'm concerned, you could cut Corey Davis, free up $10 million, cut Denzel Mims and Ashton Davis, free up another $6 million. That's $16 million. You could offer DeAndre Hopkins a one-year $16 million deal with incentives. All you'd have to do is get rid of those three guys, and you make a huge upgrade. So Jets should do everything in their power to get DeAndre Hopkins and help raise this offense to another level. And on top of that, by the way, Glenn, the other thing that they would do by getting Hopkins is keep him the hell away from Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as concerned about the Patriots, but I do not want DeAndre Hopkins with Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. That would be terrible for the Jets. That's going to wrap up part one of the weekend mailbag. Make sure that you check out everything that Glenn is doing at JetNation.com. Check out everything that we're doing over at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. The Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, has some awesome All-22 breakdowns on our channel, including the newest Jet, Al Woods, the run stuffer from Seattle. Plus, he's also got a bunch of the newest draft picks that the Jets brought into the fold in the 2023 NFL Draft. So watch our videos and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already, youtube.com/playlikeajet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.